You are welcome to this service. The month of September, our focus is grace for exploits. Grace for exploits. Say, Father, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we've come to thank you again as we come before your presence. Lord, we ask that you minister to us. Let us be blessed. Let the glory be yours. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. I know you've had a lot about grace, but I will just say the little I have, and then maybe just one prayer, and we'll believe God for the best. What is grace? I put it here. I said, grace is a gift. I said, it is a gift. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Say, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. Grace is a gift. Wonder, what is that? You might want to wonder, what is a gift? A gift is a thing given willingly to someone without payment. You know, human beings, most times, when we give, we attach it to events. Somebody's birthday, somebody's naming ceremony, a wedding ceremony. So somebody doing something, human beings, that give. But grace is a divine gift. And it is truly and completely free. It doesn't depend on our performance. It doesn't depend on our service. It doesn't depend on the work that we have done. It doesn't depend on our gender or our status in the society. It is a gift from God. You know, the difference between the human gift and the gift of grace is that the human gift is very limited. But the gift of grace covers every area of life. For instance, if I have 100,000 in my account, can I give you 150,000? No. I can't. I can't give you what I don't have. Even if I have, I can't give you everything that I have. We'll probably share it. So the gift of the human being is extremely limited. And what can man give anyway? But you know, there are a lot of things money cannot buy. Money cannot buy a lot of things. But the gift of grace covers every area of our lives. Is it spiritual? Is it economic? Is it health? Is it financial? Just name it. Grace covers gift. That gift of grace, it covers it. Now, I want us to look at that verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 2. But again, but in another manner. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved. Through what? Faith. Through faith. So grace is a gift from God. But you must be able to access that gift. In Koton J, a lot of us, is there unlimited provision? It's unlimited. But there's a check that that you must sign. There's a key that must open that door. Without that key, you probably will not be able to access it. It says, grace, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Faith is the key to accessing that gate. I mean, I really thought about this afternoon. How can we have gift, unlimited gift, and we can't access it? We live in plenty, but we are suffering. There's so much around us, but we don't have access to it. Because there's a key that you open that door where that gift is. And it is through what? Faith. Faith. It says, by grace you have been saved. And it's only faith. Belief. Belief is that key. Let me read Acts chapter 16, verse 27 to 31. It's a very common story in the Bible. Paul and Silas, they were in jail. But let me start from 27. It says, and the jailer, being roused out of sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, drew his sword, and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm. I want you. Atis salo. Makparayo. We're here. But that man was stunned. He was terrified. He could not believe what he was saying. 29 says, and he called for lights and sprang in. And trembling for fear. Kilo Jacob Beru. Why was he afraid? Why was that jailer afraid? I mean, you can tell me, why was he afraid? Why was he afraid? Huh? You say what? For his own life? Was it for his own life, really? Why was he afraid? It was what? I mean, who opened the door? How did the door open? And those guys were there. There are some miracles that you cannot explain. There are some miracles of God that you can't. You see, not even some. Miracles of God, you can't explain them. You can't. Since he was trembling for fear, and he fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, sirs, what did he say? What was he calling them before? He now called them, he said, sir. They will call you sir. I say you'll be relevant. He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You know what they told him? 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. That is the key to that grace. Believe. Faith. He didn't say confess your sins. He didn't say tumble over. He says, just believe. Have faith in God, and thou shalt be saved, you and your household. There's another popular verse in the Bible, and we quote this scripture a lot, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. I personally, I like that scripture. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Let's stop there. Exceeding abundantly. I wish, is Mrs. Baltude here? She's not here. I was looking out what kind of, how did they qualify that? He can do exceeding. I mean, you could have put stop at abundantly above. But it says he can do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. Whatever it is, look at that verse of the Bible. What actually catches my attention there is, it means that we can dream. Don't be myopic. Don't be small for asking. Don't be small thinking. A lot of us are small. We want small. We get small. We are satisfied with small. No. He says, above all that you can ask, means you can ask anything. You are free. My Rebbe used to say this several years ago. Nobody will arrest you for dreaming. No, you are thinking. Think big. But no matter how big you can think, God can do above. God can do abundantly or exceeding abundant above what you can ask or what you can think. But there's a proviso there. It says, according to the power that works in me and in you. That is the key. That's the key. So do you have that master key? The ability of God cannot be questioned. Do you know what ability means? It means you have the means to do it. Only God is able. His ability cannot be questioned. He created heavens and the earth. God is too big. He's too awesome. Whatever you are asking for me is too little for God. His ability is too big. He has the ability to do anything. But the challenge is that, do you have the power? Is the power working in you? Is it working in me? That's the problem here now. You see, the grace of God grants us access to the things we don't deserve. For many of us who are what we are only by His grace. And I thank God. I'm where I am today by His grace. When I look at my life 15, 20 years back, I mean, there's no correlation. There's no meeting point. I wonder how did God take me to that level? It is grace. It is grace. It's grace. If not for His grace, some of us will not be alive today. We'll be gone. Tick-a-tick-a. If not for His grace, some of us will have roof over our heads. If not for His grace, I wrote here, some of us wouldn't have recovered from the consequences of our past life. Some of us have lived dangerously. Dangerously. And there are consequences. But if not for his grace, we would not have, we would still be in that, living in that consequences. But let's look at Saul. Saul is someone that persecuted the church of God, but eventually became a mighty apostle of the gospel. Look at what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 2. He says, make room for us in your hearts. We have not wronged no one. Paul is saying that. We have not exploited no one. We have corrupted no one. Paul, that persecuted Christians, is not confessing that. What will make him confess that? The grace. Grace. The grace. Now, how do we grow in that grace of God? How do we grow in that grace? And I want us to have a discussion. I have like 4 or 5 points here. But I want us to have a discussion. You see, because grace shouldn't be static. We should grow in grace. We should go in grace. We've established now that we need faith. Faith to open that door. Grow in grace. But how do we grow in grace? Number one, by living a life that pleases God. Romans chapter 6 verse 1 said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may do what? Huh? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Shall we keep on sinning and then we expect grace to continue to increase? Shall we keep on sinning? Can I have a mic? Can we keep on sinning and we expect grace to continue to increase? You know, my explanation here is that we have a fixed mind of what we call sin. What we regard as sin, our mind is fixed. And sin is a lot more than that. It's a lot more than that. Shall we continue in sin and we expect that grace to be established, to increase lives? Some of us are still living in unforgiveness. There's a month here that we dealt with unforgiveness. A whole month, or even more than a month. But I know a lot of us are still living in that. We just can't forgive. And we're expecting grace. I'm bold to declare to you this morning, or this evening, that God is not a magician. Shall we continue in sin? What is sin? What does sin mean to you? That's the question here now. What does sin, what does it mean to you? What does it mean to me? You are not fornicating. You're not in adultery. No. That's why I say a lot of us have fixed mind of what we call sin. Fixed. But if you are holding somebody, you are bitter about somebody, you are envious, you are living in sin. The Bible is very categorical about it. Somebody said when we were discussing forgiveness, I was opportune to be in that group. And they asked the person, how do you feel? He said, I don't feel anyhow. I didn't feel anyhow. So sin has become our life. We're comfortable with it. The conscience is not there anymore. Prick us. Our minds don't prick us anymore. So we don't regard it as sin. So you need to go back. You need to have what we discussed last week, a learner mindset, a growth mindset. It's not only what you call sin that is sin. Shall we continue with sin? Shall we be comfortable with unforgiveness? Shall we be envious? What are the other sins, sister? What are the other sins? The little sins. Eh? Shall we continue in sin and do what? Expect grace to abound. So when there's a block somewhere, don't blame God. Let's look inwards. When there's an obstacle, we are praying. We are praying. It's not happening. And you start to look. No. Let us look inwards first. Inwards. Let's look inwards. What are you doing? You are bitter. Yes, you have a right to be bitter. But be above it. Several times, Reverend come here and says, go and leave this place. Go and make amends. That's the key to your miracle. What did you say? Let me read. He says, go and do something. And as I was going, emi, so then you mean? No. Emi gonna mo share. No. I can't do it. It's not possible. What should back here lower mini? You know, it is that dramatical. It's that dramatic. You don't understand it though. When they say go and do it, they give me that key. Oh yeah. Lord Shiva. They give you that key. But by the time you refuse, I say, what is back here, lower padania? What is back here, lower padania? Is that dramatic? But because we are human beings and we are so myopic, like our best in Shagidi, like I cannot go and rob that person. Need a lover. Simple instruction. Shall we continue in sin and expect what? Grace to increase. Little assignment for everybody here today. Please, whoever, nobody is too important to cause to heaven. Nobody. And nobody. Some people say, I can never. Nobody is too big, too important to cost you heaven. When you leave this place today, please, it's another simple instruction. It's a key. 32 in the go and make peace. Go and make peace. No matter who the person is. Go and make peace. Don't allow them take the key from you again. Number two, by increasing in knowledge, how do we grow in grace? By increasing in knowledge. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through what? The knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The more you grow in knowledge, the more grace is available to you. So how do we grow in knowledge? Quickly. How do we grow in knowledge? How do we gain knowledge of God? Is the mic there? Okay, just give it to anybody you want to give to. How do we grow in the knowledge of God? Give it to anybody. You have power in your hands.
Having time for the word of God, reading, meditating, and doing a thorough study of the word.
Fantastic. Having time for the word of God. Having time, separate time. But you know what I understand? It's just my observation. My own personal observation. Wake up in the morning, and study the word of God. When I discuss with my wife, you know, wala ye po, wala ko. During the day, you are thinking of so many things. Before you can meditate on the word, it must be a quiet place. Before you can meditate on the word, radio cannot be going on somewhere. CNN going on behind, and you now do like this and say you are studying the word. You can't meditate. Try it early in the morning. Very early. So studying the word of God is one. What is another?
The balance of study of the word of God is, when we study, the word of God also must read us.
Must do what?
Must read us.
Okay.
As we are studying, the word of God is reading us and we are changing.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. What other ones? Quickly. Give it to one more person because of our time. Anybody. There's a young man in front of you there in blue. Give it to him.
Good evening, church. One other way that we can grow by studying the word of God is also listening to other people who have grown in the word of God. Because the Bible said that we prophesy in part and know in part.
God bless you, Ben. You see, I was even going there because we have platforms. We have men's fellowship. We have women's platform. We have the youth. We have pastors and elders. You know, we don't discuss Bible study on that group. We used to do it at some point on what platform, and it was rich. Nobody has monopoly of knowledge. I wish we can start it again. What you read today, we are not sure about, post it on that platform and let people contribute. But what do we do? We are always looking for employment. What we post there. It's very important too. But I don't know who can drive it. I don't know who can start it. Maybe the woman, Mr. Gubero, where are you? I saw you. Maybe you will start it with your women's group. You can't, nobody has monopoly of knowledge. Start it on one platform. You will see people start to contribute. Aman Shetele, suddenly we stopped. Because the devil knows that he doesn't want us to grow in knowledge. We stopped it. Can we start it again, please? The youth. Hey, why are you here? The youth, let's start it. Somebody dropped something. This is what I read today. I don't understand this. And then we start to throw contributions. At the end of the day, we can still come back to Reverend or any of the pastors. What are your thoughts on this? We are developing ourselves. We need to grow in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, Hebrews 4, verse 16. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How do we come boldly? Boldly means confidence. Confidence. How do we approach the throne of grace with confidence? How do we build confidence? How? Where's the mic again? Quickly. How do we build confidence? You know, when I was thinking about this, you know, if I have 100,000 in my account, and I want to go to bank to withdraw 50,000, will I be afraid? Eh? No, I can't. I go there with confidence. It's my money. But I have 100,000 naira, and I want to withdraw 120,000. I might want to be, shame on me, 120 in Bensha. All of my people embarrass me. All of my people embarrass me. You go there with a lot of anxiety. So what builds our confidence? You want to talk? Yes.
Okay, what builds our confidence is knowledge. As knowledge. Confidence is a product of knowledge and fear is a product of ignorance.
Thank you very much. God bless you. I want somebody else to talk. What builds confidence? Because it is through confidence that we can approach that throne of grace. Not fear. Not timidity. Not anxiety. It is through confidence. Give it to somebody. Yes.
The measure of our faith determines the measure of our confidence. Because the Bible says in the book of James that, you know, if anyone asks anything from God and is wavering, he's not sure we'll get it. So for our confidence to be stable, for it to be sure, then our faith also needs to be strong.
Our faith needs to be strong. She wants to say something quickly. Thank you very much, Juan.
Our relationship with God.
Okay.
What do we have? What amount of faith or word we have enough?
Yes.
Do we have the knowledge of God enough?
Yes, you're very right. Our relationship with God builds confidence. Somebody wants to say something? Okay, quickly.
When our spirit bears witness with the spirit of God that we are children of God.
Thank you
very
much.
That is what builds confidence.
God bless you. Knowing who you are. Knowing who you are. In God. Knowing who you are in God. My son cannot bang the gate. He knows who he is. But every other person, you want to come to my house? What do? You knock. Even, you see, because of telephone, you don't want to waste your phone. You first of all call. Excuse me, sir. Can I see you? You can't badge him. Knowing who you are in God. Who are you? What's your relationship with God? You must know who you are. When after entering my house, he knocks at my door. Bah! He has the key to my room. Like Pastor was saying, he says he wants to visit somebody and just enters the room straight. Is it possible? It's not possible. He knows his boundaries. He knows where to draw the line. But when you know who you are in God, you have confidence. You have confidence. Who are you in God? Are you a child of God? Do you know the authority you carry? Do you know the power that you carry as a child of God? Do you have an idea? People of God, we are entering into the month of rest. October, November, December. You know, I have a little group that we have been meeting for some time. And I told them something. I said, before December, God will change their status. I told them in that little group. I said, before December, your story will change. But you know that we have started seeing results. But that's just was prophetic. Some of us will have the key to open it. Some of us will say, in Koti Pastor Soyen, Shule Shelesha. This is July to December. Can my status change between now and December? And you start to doubt. But for these people here, listening to me this evening, October, November, December, you will enter your rest. I say, God will show up for you in the mighty name of Jesus. I want to close with Job 29:21. Can the media project that for me? Job 29:21. And we just pray, just one single prayer. Men listened to me and waited, and kept silence for my counsel. 22. After my words, they did not speak again, and my speech settled on them as what? As dew. I want you to pray this evening that between now, from this moment, you will be relevant. After you have spoken, nobody will speak again. Oh, some people you don't even understand that prayer. You don't understand that prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for being our Savior, for being our deliverer, for being our help. Every from January to this moment. Father, we thank you for the month of September. We thank you for the exploits that you have done in our lives. Be thou exalted in the mighty name of Jesus. Next time we meet here, it will be October. Heavenly Father, we are asking that wonderful month will answer unto us. Father, you open doors for us. Doors of miracles. Father, those that are sick, Lord, you will heal them. Those that are in bondage, Lord, you will deliver them. Heavenly Father, I ask that you prosper the works of our hands in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, every crooked way you make straight for us, it shall be well with us. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and adoration. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.